And
you'll see the little daughter, Viviana, a little bit later, maybe. They're going to share about their ministry to Columbia, and I just want to give them all the time that they can have, and so just come and share. Thanks, brother.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so good morning. As Mike said, I'm Ricardo Morales. I'm originally from Colombia, and this is my wife, Vona, originally from Oregon. So this is what we are going to do today, okay? We are going to do different things. First, I want to share my testimony, okay? And then Vona is going to share a little bit of her testimony too, with one thing in mind: God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. God doesn't act in random ways in our lives. And here we are here not by coincidence, not by accident, but because God has prepared this moment. Okay? So I want to start sharing my testimony, and I want you guys to see how the Lord has been working in such a gracious way to bring us here today. Okay? So I was born in Bogota, Colombia, South America. And when I came to the Lord, about 98% of the population was Catholic in Colombia, 98% Catholic. And I came to the Lord when I was about 8-9 years old. And at that time, to become a Christian was like becoming or getting to a sect. They thought that Christianity was a sect. That's what Catholics used to say. So I was expelled out from my school. Can you imagine that? Just because I became a Christian, the principal, it was a Catholic school, they said, sorry, Ricardo, and my other brothers and sister, you cannot come back to school. So, but my mom went and talked, oh, what can I do? My children will never be able to study just because now we are Christians. So they made an exception. So we were able to go back to school, but we couldn't talk about Christianity. So as I grew, you know, in the Lord, and I just really wanted to serve the Lord. That's all what I wanted. And I was just like one of you little kids here today. And I'm talking to you parents too. I was just like one of these little kids. I really, really wanted to serve the Lord with my whole heart. I still remember that. I would listen to the Christian station. I would read the Bible. And even when I was 15 years old, from my own resources, I went when I was 15 years old to the Bible Institute to study the Bible. So when I was 17 years old, that was still in my heart to serve the Lord. So I heard of a Christian ship, a gospel ship that goes from country to country sharing the gospel. And I didn't know what it was like to serve the Lord, you know? I didn't know what it was to serve the Lord. But I heard, wow, a missionary ship. Maybe I would like to serve the Lord there. And I didn't know anything. I just said, I will go. So I talked to my dad. And I said, Dad, I really want to go to this Christian ship. I want to serve the Lord. My dad was a new believer at that time. So he said, but Ricardo, you have to go to school. You have to go to school. If you don't go to university, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? So he said, okay, Ricardo, if you go for 2 years to that ship, I will support you as a missionary there for 2 years. That is one option. The other option is that I will pay your university for 5 years, because in Colombia it's 5 years. So you go to university for 5 years, you choose. If you go to the ships, when you come back, you have to work during the day and go to university in the evening. So I said, you know what, Dad? I will go to the ships. And when I come back to Colombia, I will pay my own school. That's fine. So I went to the ships for 2 years. That was my commitment. But as I was there, I really wanted to serve the Lord. So I told the leadership, okay, I will continue. Like I said, forget school. I will be a missionary for the rest of my life. That's what I told the leadership. So I was going to continue what they called in that organization, long-term missionary. So, but guess what happened? January 4, 1988, the ship sank. She's like one of those storms that you guys experience here in Canada. It's snow, really cold, lots of winds, but we were in the sea, from crossing from the Pacific to the Atlantic, land of fire, the tip of South America. I won't go into details about what happened that night. So the ship sank. So
everybody lived
by God's grace. So the ship sank. So I told the leadership of the ship, well, now I have to go back to study. No, I guess I cannot serve the Lord anymore. So I went back to Colombia to study. So I was supposed to study then in the evenings and work during the day. So I got a job during the day. And the very same day, and this is literally this very same day that I was going to, in Bogota, I was going to find out about the schools, because at that time there was an internet. So you had to go and get, you remember? You, some of you remember that, please. So I had to get these packets, you know, that they would give you. So I was going to go there, and I went early to work. I went at 6 a.m. And at that moment, as I was opening the door, I heard the phone ringing. And I got a phone call from Germany. That is where the headquarters of this ministry were located, the ships. So they said, hey, Ricardo, there is a small college in Southern California that has offered us a scholarship for one of our missionaries. We have been praying, and we would really like you to consider the option of going to that college. And we can partner, and maybe when you are done with your studies, you can come back if that is what the Lord has for you. So guess what? That was the master's college. So that is how I ended up going to the master's college. So I went there for 4 years, and what I had been doing in the ships, we did evangelism, everything, but the ship also had a bookstore, so we used to sell books on board, because that bookstore allowed us to go to Russia. For example, I went to Russia when the ship was closed, when Russia was close to the gospel, so we just had a library, so that would be attractive to the countries we visited. The ship went to China, Cuba, a number of countries. Even I was in El Salvador when the guerrilla movement was there, and they wouldn't let the gospel go in. So I was in that ministry. So I thought that I was very good at business, because that's what I did on board the ship. I'm good administration, good leadership. So I said, no, what the Lord wants me to do is to be a businessman. So I didn't want to be a missionary anymore. Now I wanted to be a businessman. So I even told them, I remember that morning when they called me from Germany, I said, if that university, that college has a business program, I will go. Otherwise, no. Can you imagine? The little missionary. So when I went to college, I met this friend of mine. He became a really close friend. Lupito is his name. He's Hispanic. So for some reason, he wanted to really become my good friend. So he said, Ricardo, I want to take the same classes you take. And he's the son of a pastor. He's a pastor that has a very, very small Hispanic church plant in California. Very small, tiny church, you know. And he said, Ricardo, we can be pastors. You know, I said, no, Lupito, I want to be a businessman. But Ricardo, we can get a minor in business. Let's get an emphasis on the Bible. I said, no, I'm going to take Bible. I mean, I'm going to do business. You take Bible. So he said, okay, Ricardo, I will be a businessman too. So.
Did you take
both? Yeah. So I took also a lot of Bible classes. So guess what? This guy, this friend of mine, Lupito, ended up being a third-level executive in Federal Express. And I ended up being the pastor of this little church plant in California. So you see, God working. So I was there in the college. Then I said, you know, after that, okay, after I finished college, business degree, that was, 25 years ago. I graduated when I was 7 years old. No. 25 years ago. So I said, you know what? I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to Colombia. I'm going to, you know, be a businessman. Imagine speaking English in Colombia at that time and having gone to school, business degree from the States. That was huge in Colombia. So I worked for a number of large corporations. I got a master in business administration from a really good school there, business law, and I was doing really well. But for some reason, I just wasn't feeling satisfied. You know, I wasn't finding the joy I used to have. I was doing good. Sometimes I would do good and that would go down. So just to give you an idea real quick of how my heart was struggling. It was maybe, say, 1997, you know, like 15, 16 years ago. I was working for this company, and this company used to have business with an American company, okay? Are you following me? So this company invited us to North Carolina for a sales and business seminar. So I was there, and the lady, the vice president for Latin America, she was a Christian, and she knew I was a Christian too. So she told me, Christy was her name. So she said, hey, Ricardo, we should do something for all these Hispanics. We were a group of like 20, 30 Hispanics from Argentina, Chile, Central America, Mexico. And she said, we should take all these men to the Christian radio station. Okay? To the Christian radio station. Maybe they can ask questions or something like that. So as soon as I went into the radio station, so we ended up going, all of us, to the radio station, I began crying. And I was with these 20, 25 men, and I had to kind of hide myself. I was just crying, crying, crying. So this man saw me, you know? And he said, hey, are you okay? I was maybe like 32 years old or something like that, 35 years old, and I was just crying. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm okay. So he said, why don't you come to my office? So I went to his office, and then he said, tell me about you. Why are you crying? He said, I'm just like that, like a child, you know? I said, I cannot believe you guys are preaching the gospel here. This is what I should be doing, I said. This is what I should be doing. Instead of working in business, I should be preaching the gospel. So he said, but tell me about you. I said, I went to the master's college. I wanted to go into business. I forgot I wanted to be a missionary. And then I said, oh, wow, master's college. My son went to the master's college, he told me. And he said, wow, my son was the translator for John MacArthur. Wow, I began even crying more. What am I doing? You know? So he said, but you know what, Ricardo? Just pray. Maybe you can serve the Lord again. I said, no, I don't think so, you know. And he prayed for me. He said, just apply to the master seminary again. Apply, go to school. So he prayed for me. He asked, Lord, provide the funds for Ricardo to go, you know. But guess what? I forgot his prayer and I went back to business. Until the Lord began preparing different circumstances. And I contacted my friends in the seminary, you know, like 3, 4, 5 years. Now there was internet at that time. So master's college. And the person who used to be my RD, my resident director in my dorm, now was a vice president. So I said, hey, Mark, is his name, Mark Tatlow. Now he's the president of the Master's Academy International. So I said, hey, Mark, do you remember me? Just that. Mark, do you remember me? Ricardo. He said, of course, Ricardo, I remember you. What are you up to? He said, you know what, Mark? I'm applying to the master's seminary. I'm just not seeing my life, finding joy, you know? I've been in business. He said, you know what, Ricardo? And I said, could you serve as a reference for me? And he said, you know what, Ricardo? I'm not going to serve you only as a reference. I'm going to introduce you personally to the dean of the seminary, Dr. Mayhew at that time. I'm going to find a ministry for you. I'm going to help you with a financial help. I'm going to find a place for you to live. Come. So I ended up going to the seminary. So I joined the seminary in 2007, and I just had the privilege of getting my my MD, then my THM, and began working for a, in a Hispanic ministry, church plant. I was there for 10 years, 5 years as a assistant pastor, and 4 or 5 years as head pastor. And that is how the Lord has leading my life. So when I was there, I found out why I wasn't being really fulfilled in Colombia. Number one, because I wasn't really serving the Lord full time and following my call. But second, because I hadn't met my wife, Bona. Come. I met her 8 years ago, and the Lord has given us a precious, precious daughter. So now, through different circumstances, the Lord is taking me back to Colombia. Not as a businessman, not to get an MBA, not to aspire to the highest floor in the building, but to go and serve. And all these experiences have prepared our hearts. And now, Bona, why don't you share a little bit about you? Okay. Not too long.
I was going to say, I'll go quicker. Mine's not that exciting. I was going to shipwreck. So. I grew up in Oregon in just a small, my dad was a fireman, right? Just a note to all you parents. If you have a horse, because you guys live out here where you can have horses, right? If you have a horse, girls don't need boyfriends, right? I didn't get married until I was 38. So just let that be a note, right? Just on the side, right? So I didn't have money for college either. I wanted to go to college. I didn't have money for college. And so I was very privileged. The Lord gave me a scholarship with the Air Force. So I did ROTC through college. And then, so they paid for college, and then I owed them time back to pay for my school. So I was an Air Force nurse for 6 years. So I was in Texas for 4, and then I lived in Germany for 2 years. And I did labor and delivery. So that was a really nice, you know, way for me to get my nursing degree and some experience doing nursing. And then, so when I was in Germany, I met a family that are missionaries to the military. And it was just really privileged. They just cook, right? Because a lot of the military guys and girls, they live in the dorms, they eat in the chow hall. There's never a family home-cooked meal, something like that. So I would just go and help her cook, and then started to, thank you. I'm kind of loud. I don't know if I can do it.
No, it'll record.
Oh, for recording, sorry. Yeah, so I would just go help the missionary wife cook and got to be very good friends with her that way and just help with ladies' ministries and hospitality ministry with them. And they just have a big house. Like, the kids don't live there, right? I didn't live there. I had my own housing. But when I got out of the military, I just knew I wanted to go home for Christmas. I hadn't been home for Christmas for 6 years, right? So I stayed home for Christmas with my mom and dad in Oregon for that Christmas. And then in the meantime, that missionary couple had moved to an Air Force base in Northern California near my house. So they said, hey, would you come move in with us? We're getting busy enough with ministry that we need some help. So would you come down and work with the single ladies and come help? So I went down and we did. We cooked for probably 80 to 100 on base, on like every Thursday night kind of a thing. And I just was doing counseling with the girls. And I think I was giving them good advice. But it was good advice. It wasn't opening the Bible and saying, this is the problem and this is what the Lord would see about that. So, and even kind of through that family, I found out about masters. So I ended up moving down to Southern California and doing a master's in biblical counseling. And I was just doing nursing on the side to support myself. And I was queen of the single ladies. I was telling these guys last night, my favorite comment that I ever got was a couple of my friends at church all got together and came to me and said, Vonna, if we die, Your job is going to be to marry our husband and raise our kids. We've all decided that should be your goal in life. And I'm like, thank you, I think. So anyway, but yeah, and I knew Ricardo from church. But then, he asked me to the seminary banquet, which is kind of like seminary prom. And like the heavens split open and the angels sang. We were basically engaged in like 5 days. I'm not sure I recommend that, especially for the youngsters out there, right? But we were old. We had to get moving if we were going to get married and have a baby, so. Anyway, but that's kind of our story. When it happened very quickly for us. So
I just want to highlight that sovereignty. Talking to the young right now too, and those parents that are here. At times I have said that I am a Jonah. Seriously. She's running away from God's call, and he telling me, you know, Ricardo, I have a purpose for your life. And for some of us, the call is not to have a church of 10,000 people. For some of us, it's just a little church. For some of us, just like this morning, I saw the deacons of the church just being faithful in the little things. For some of us, even just to be here, seated, and to encourage one another. That's what Hebrews exhort us to do as we come to church. Just whatever you do, there is a purpose for your life. And only the Lord knows how he's taking your life. And maybe at the very end of the path, you can look back and you can see that God has been leading your life with a purpose. Just last night I was telling Mike and Jody, I am doing now what I wish I would be doing at age 25, 30. But it's never too late to serve the Lord. It's never too late to go and lay a brick for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to give you, I want to show you a video. It's a 10-minute video, okay? That summarizes what we are going to do in Colombia. And after that, what we are going to do is that we are going to go in a little bit more detail about what we will be doing so you guys get a better idea of what we will be doing in Colombia so you can pray for us. And we might also have a little short time of prayer. So we'll share maybe 4 or 5 prayer requests. So this is the video.
Our call. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
We believe the Lord has called us to fulfill the Great Commission by training Colombian pastors and church leaders in the proper interpretation of Scripture so that they may replicate biblically sound disciples.
Our ministry. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
Our goal is to fulfill the Great Commission by training and equipping pastors with the knowledge and tools necessary to develop churches with Christ-like disciples. Our privilege is to help develop a seminary program in Colombia so that it may become a TMAI member school. What is TMAI?
The Master's Academy International is a Christian organization faithful to the authority of scriptures, the centrality of the local church, and the priority of the gospel, and serves as a partner ministry of the Master's Seminary overseas. TMAI is committed to fulfilling the Great Commission by training indigenous church leaders to be approved pastor teachers, able to equip their churches to make biblically sound disciples. The beauty of the TMAI model is that pastors and church leaders with little or no access to biblical training can be equipped with the sound theology of the Master Seminary, but in their own nation and in their own language, for a fraction of the cost and with no visa issues.
The multiplying effect of the TMAI model is remarkable.
Since most students are already pastors or church leaders, this training produces an immediate and lasting effect on their ministry, their congregation, and their community.
I love these words of John MacArthur. He said, "I am convinced that TMAI is the greatest missions history of our time. This is a force utterly committed to biblical inerrancy and disposition of Scripture. There is no other enterprise like it in the world of missions."
Colombia is located in the northwest corner of South America. It has a population of about 50 million people. Its capital is Bogota, and its language is Spanish.
Colombia also has the world's third largest practice of Satanism. It's the number one country in the world for child trafficking. It has about 1 million orphans. By far, it is the number one producer of cocaine in the world, and it has been plagued by war and violence for over 60 years.
However, Colombia's social crisis pales in comparison to her greatest need, one that is eternal. What Colombia desperately needs is not merely political peace or humanitarian aid, but the power of the gospel to change the hearts of her people.
The Lord knew the desperate need of humanity, and he addressed it in the Great Commission.
Baptizing them implies belonging to Christ. As Scripture teaches, belonging to Christ means understanding, receiving, and abiding in the full and true gospel. He has called us to follow Him as our Lord and Savior, as the Word commands.
But tragically, the Colombian church is being deceived.
From so-called Christian pulpits, a false gospel is being preached, one that says salvation is a result of being a good person, that attending religious services of any sort makes you a Christian, and that giving financially to any sort of religious cause and having ecstatic emotional experiences are evidence of salvation.
These deceitful teachings spring from pastors who at best are misinformed and at worst are preying on thousands of naive souls for their own financial gain.
Though it's hard to believe, most pastors in Colombia have never had a single Bible class and rely solely on their own opinions and understanding of Scripture to lead their congregations.
This is literally like the blind leading the blind.
How can Colombians know what the truth is if they have never heard it, or more sadly, have been misled by those who genuinely think they know? Training and equipping church leaders in how to correctly interpret Scripture offers a biblical solution to this tragic reality.
Christ said that making disciples is not only about baptizing believers. It is also about teaching them to observe all I have commanded.
Pastors who know how to correctly interpret God's word will not only produce churches with true, mature believers, but will also germinate the next generation of sound shepherds and Christ-like disciples.
And that is the biblical and final solution to Colombia's tragedy.
Our ministry plan in Colombia fulfills the Great Commission by bringing baptizing and teaching them together. Rather than building a traditional brick-and-mortar seminary in one location, professors will take turns teaching quarterly intensive week-long or weekend sessions at several sites hosted by local churches throughout the country.
This model allows the students to remain serving and applying what they are learning in their own churches while being trained.
Our heart. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near.
How we fit in.
Ricardo has been uniquely blessed with the tools necessary to effectively serve in Colombia. A native Colombian, the Lord blessed Ricardo with being able to study at the Master's Seminary, as well as with experience in teaching and pastoral ministry. Ricardo's heart compels him to use his gifts and experience for the equipping of other pastors that otherwise would not have the opportunity to be trained.
Vona's heart is eager to bless ladies in Colombia with what the Lord has taught her, as well as serving our family and the church in practical ways. Vona has a master's in biblical counseling. All those who know Vona know that the Lord has truly blessed me with a wife that loves the Lord, the church, and people.
I am Viviana Grace, and I am so excited to go to Colombia with my family to tell people about Jesus.
We are so privileged to partner with Fernando and Julia Jaimes, who are already serving in Colombia. Fernando is training pastors at two sites, as well as planting a biblical church in Bogota, a rare commodity in Colombia.
We will be serving alongside Fernando Jaimes in the church plant in Bogota.
To even apply to be a TMAI member school, there must be a minimum of 2 approved professors. Ricardo will have the privilege of serving as a professor alongside Fernando Jaimes, teaching Old and New Testament, theology, pastoral ministries, counseling, or any other subject as needed. And the school will begin the process for formal membership with TMAI.
We are praying about the possibility of starting a church plant in Pereira, a city of about 450,000 people that does not have a single biblical church.
Your opportunity. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. How you fit in.
The Great Commission is not for an elite group. It is a call and a privilege for all believers.
A strong rope is made of many threads. We need you on our team.
We encourage you to prayerfully consider fulfilling the Great Commission by partnering with us and allowing us to be your missionaries to Colombia.
There are three main ways you can help. Pray, give, and tell.
First, please pray for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ commanded to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We are convinced that more than finances, our ability to serve, or even having a heart for the need in Colombia, what we really need is a movement of believers beseeching God to provide for us and send us. Please join our team by becoming a faithful prayer partner. We cannot overemphasize this request.
Second, please give as the Lord leads. A wall is laid brick by brick. Each one may not be large, but each is necessary to the structure. Following the biblical model, this ministry is completely dependent on financial support from churches and individuals. We are very privileged to be sent by Grace Missions International, a ministry of Grace Community Church, which has reviewed and approved our budget, and no money will go to us other than what has been approved for our monthly support needs.
Though we are in need of one-time gifts to get us there, it is critical for us to raise the monthly support for our ongoing needs to carry on the ministry on the long term. Information on how to give, as well as the link to our mission agency account, can be found on our prayer card, at the bottom of our prayer letters, and on our website, timeisnear.org.
Finally, please tell others. Please let us know if you have friends or a church who may also like to join the team. Please share this presentation with your senior pastor, missions pastor, or those you know will pray for Colombia or who would consider fulfilling the Great Commission through being a part of this ministry.
Thank you for taking the time to hear about what God is doing in Colombia. We are really excited to go serve, and we hope you can journey with us, because the need is great and the time is near.
So that gives you an idea of our ministry. So now let's go to a few questions. You know, those six questions we all know: what, where, when, with whom. So what are we going to do? Basically, we are going to fulfill the Great Commission. It's about that. But I will talk in a minute about where we are going to do that in a minute. But think about this. Believe it or not, for us, this is, you know, the Great Commission is to go to the ends of the earth. Is that right? To the ends of the earth. You know what? For us, this is the end of the earth. For us,
this is the end of the earth, right?
But for us, it's like the middle of nowhere. All I can see there is snow, trees. I'm like, where am I? There is actually life here, you know? This is the ends of the earth. Is it not beautiful how the Lord has blessed this church with teaching, with sound doctrine, with people who have been equipped to serve the Lord? And the Lord sees that. I'll send the gospel, his word. That is the Great Commission. And the Great Commission has been or has taken place even here. So now we have to look to other places. And that is our privilege. Scripture says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy, of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that is what we're basically doing, fulfilling the Great Commission. Why? I want to talk a little bit why at the end of the day. Why are we going and why we should go? God is speaking and talking to Jonah. Remember I told you I was like a Jonah? I wanted my nice office and I had it. I shouldn't say this, but at age 27, I had a bulletproof car with a driver because I had such an executive position in Colombia. But it's not about those things, you see? It's about having this love that God had for the people of Nineveh. And should not I pity Nineveh that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left. I don't see any difference between this picture and what we see in Colombia. If I were to tell you how bad and evil Colombia is, you just wouldn't believe it, guys. We don't need to go into those details. But it's just really, honestly, Colombia is a lot of good people, but also a lot of bad people. You have heard the news. So God has, and Jesus now speaking. He went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had what? Compassion on them. And this is the whole crowd, you know? Good, bad people must have been in that crowd, rich, poor people. Because what? They were sheep without a shepherd, and that is what we see in Colombia. And he began to do what? To give them bread, fish, build houses, give them books, give them toys, old clothing. No, he began to teach them. Because that's the Great Commission. That is the fruit of God's compassion for my own life, was to take me to school. And every time James, Mike, and all those who preach here, they preach out of compassion. Out of compassion. That should be the greatest motivation for us to preach. Compassion for all those who need that bread of life. So that is why we are going. Where? Colombiana, talk to us.
Well, you guys can see there, in Bogota is there kind of in the center of the country. So currently, Fernando and Julia Jaimes, Fernando has two sites open for the seminary. And like we said, it's really expensive in Bogota, in the capital. And most of the students that the guys will have are actually already pastors. So it's not like these guys, when they were young, went to seminary before they already were pastoring a church. Most of the guys that they'll be working with already have churches. So it would be really difficult for them to leave the church to go to a traditional seminary program. So we'll be starting with Julia and Fernando Jaimes in Bogota. And then Fernando has another site open in Cali, which is the one you can see there. We'll be helping with a church plant. Their church plant in Bogota has gone, in 2 years, it went from 15 people to over 100. So you can pray for them, for the leadership of trying to manage that much growth that quickly. At this point, they're not even doing evangelism. That much growth has only been word of mouth. Just bring your neighbors, bring your kids, and it's been an exponential growth. So we'll be starting with that church plant. But because of the way that they're going to be doing that, the model of the seminary, we're hoping to actually possibly get to do a church plant in Pereira. That's where his mom and dad, he grew up in Bogota, but his family has moved to another city right in the triangle where they grow the coffee. And like we're saying, there's not a single church. There's a lot, especially of little charismatic churches. And I will say, I can probably overlook a whole lot if you speak in tongues and end at Jesus, right? If you get the gospel in there, okay. But these guys don't get Jesus in there. They go right through a passage and they end at give me your money. And that's how you're going to be blessed. That's how you're going to be saved, is by your financial support of the pastor. And that's very, very, very common. And even, I think for my kind of whitey brain, even the Catholic Church is very financially driven there. And the roads in Colombia are very treacherous. Even the main trade route, you cannot get two semis around the same corner at the same time. So there's lots of wrecks. So they have little Mary shrines on the corner of the streets, right? Every other street corner, there's a little Mary shrine. And the truckers will throw their coins out the thing to Mary, like, or their mangoes or whatever. They'll go ahead, light their little candles, put their mangoes up. It almost feels Buddhist, right? Like we would go to maybe a Chinese restaurant or something and they have their little shrine. They do the exact same thing for Mary. Mm-hmm. And it's very financially driven, even the Catholicism there.
Well, so anyway, let's talk a little bit more about Colombia.
Yeah, so you guys kind of saw this in the other one. The child trafficking is pretty sad. I'll say this too. You know who has the first largest practice of Satanism? The United States. I don't know if you guys knew that. But yeah, and it's very interesting. So even though they're very Catholic, you may go to church on Sunday, but then if somebody's trying to steal your man, you will go to the witch and have a curse put on And they're no kidding. Like, the demonism there is very strong.
Yes. Colombia has about 50 million people. And for 50 million people, there are only 2 or 3 seminaries in the whole country. Can you imagine that? There are thousands, thousands, and thousands, literally, of charismatic churches in Colombia. There are about 76% of Catholics. The Islam is growing 15 to 20% a year. That is rapidly.
There's 2 or 3 huge mosques now in Bogota.
Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses have been very, very aggressive in missions. Missionaries going to Colombia to help. Charismatic movement is just incredible. There are churches that several churches, for example, in Bogota, every single Sunday, they have 50,000 people in one day. There is a church that has 12 services. They start like at 6, then another one 7:30, 9:30, 10. How can you shepherd a church like that? And there is only one figurehead right there. And I don't want to judge them. I need to be careful with what I say. But every single service, they make sure to collect the offerings and put pressure on people to give. So it's a little bit about Colombia. These are some,
That actually is a coffee farm. Like, you guys think about farms this way. Colombians think about farms this way. And they really do use the mules still, because otherwise, if it was anything mechanized, you would roll it down the hill. It's pretty amazing. But that's a coffee farm behind
us. And Vona put the picture of these little children, because the parents of these two children, those two girls, they wanted to help with this ministry. About 3 years ago, they flew all the way to Mexico to connect with the TMAI in Mexico to see what they could do to bring this ministry to Colombia. So you can see the thirst of people flying all the way to Mexico just to see, hey, we have heard about John MacArthur in Grace to You, the radio ministry. How can you guys help us in Colombia? We need somebody to teach us. So the next picture.
Well, and that family, we stayed.
We only have 10 minutes.
Okay, that family, we stayed with that family. We were going on to another city in Mexico. And they said, hey, go to this little city named Silvia up in the mountains. It was an indigenous city. And you guys can see, these are some of the ladies with their little hats that are too small, right? And we had a great horseback ride. They make homemade provolone cheese. It was one of my favorite days in Colombia, it was this day, right? And it was really just a neat experience to be in that city. And we got back to Bogota, and our friend Fernando said, I can't believe of the millions of teeny tiny little cities in the entire country, you guys ended up in Silvia. So the missionaries have been up in the indigenous villages for 80 to 100 years, and they know the gospel. Many of these indigenous people are believers, but they have to wait for the next missionary to come be their pastor and wait for the next missionary to come be their pastor. So there's 25 to 30 guys ready and waiting, begging Fernando to open another site in Silvia to be another seminary site.
Again, so, because they only know the gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. That's kind of all they know. But no one has taught them how to study the Bible, how to read it, how to preach it. Okay?
Yeah. So these are some of the men.
So that is where we are going.
Well, this is in the same city, but this is how you carry your baby around.
Yeah, we just saw it.
And there are just some really beautiful things. I want to talk about this one just for 2 seconds. This is one of my more fascinating things. We got to go. Colombia, just biologically, is so amazing. They don't have seasons. They just have altitudes, right? So Bogota is like, maybe like you guys for October. When does it rain? October? Is that too late? Is it already snowing by then? Right? But it's cold. It's like boots and sweaters and rainy all year long. And if you're tired of your boots and sweaters, you go down the hill, probably an hour drive, and it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity, right? So it just depends on where you are in the world, right? And it surprised me, because I think in my head, I think of Colombia being very tropical and hot, and that is true in the Amazon basin, but a lot of it is up in the Andes Mountains, so it's a lot colder than what we think about.
Yes, Colombia is a very, very beautiful country. To make my point, let me tell you how beautiful it is. It is almost as beautiful as Canada. That gives you an idea of how beautiful Colombia is. Next.
Wait, no, come back. I want to go back. That picture of the, we just got to go see, there's more butterfly species in Colombia than in the entire rest of the world combined. Hmm. That was an actual live butterfly chrysalis, and it looked like a piece of jewelry. It was just fascinating to me. Anyway, I don't know that that's that important, but it was just kind of my little thing the Lord gave me on that.
So, how many minutes do I have left? Wow. Okay, so I can preach. No. Okay, we can talk a little bit more. How? Okay, so how we are going to do this? Basically, you saw it, and by God's grace, it's just the Great Commission in such a clear way. But baptizing, that is helping in the church. I hope to start a couple of church plants, and I hope by the time I'm done there, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, the Lord knows how. But it's a long-term commitment, the one we are right now deciding in our hearts to have there. So I will be teaching in the Pastor Training Institute. I will be helping with a church plant, so right there, those two. And I might start, I would love to start a church plant in that city where there are not other churches. This is me preaching in, it's a funny kind of looking picture, huh?
Sorry.
I'm glad you can see me.
You're more skinny if you stretch.
So that is in Cali. I was teaching, actually, that day, it was just incredible. I preached on Deuteronomy that day, and I also, these are some of the students in the seminary, and they were like, literally, the students begging me for the manuscript. Like, how did you do that? How did you do that? How can you come up with a message? They couldn't understand how a person could prepare a message. And these were pastors. And James didn't take any classes with me, but in preaching, in seminary, no. So I wasn't that good. But yet, they just, it's gold for them. It's gold for them. So that is teaching. This is a group of men. This guy that you see in a wheelchair, why don't you share that testimony?
Sure.
This is incredible.
That's the pastor of this church in Cali. And his first wife actually died of cancer. And they were at, just after she had died, they were at a prayer service, prayer ministry. And as he came out of his church in Cali, he was held up at gunpoint and was shot. And that's why he's in the wheelchair.
After a prayer meeting, can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is our friend Fernando on the side over there with the beard.
And this is also his picture right there. We will be partnering with them in Bogota. This is me preaching. I was preaching in Bogota. That is the church. Right now they have about 100 people. So when are we planning on going? We are hoping to go this summer. We are working on our support. Again, more than anything else, we know that the Lord will provide. As I have said before, if somebody loves Colombia, it's Christ. Didn't he die on the cross for Colombia? Yes, he did. He cares for them. So let's pray that we may grasp his heart, that we may understand his desire to bless Colombia. So when? We hope. Who is going? Okay? Can we go by ourselves? Mm-mm. We cannot go by ourselves. Number one, we need to go with Christ. And how Christ is working today? Yes, by the Holy Spirit, but through his church. Aren't you guys his feet, his hands here to go and proclaim, to be testimony, to be lights? So we also need to partner with churches. And that is why we are here. Because as I may say later on, we want to be your hands and your feet in Colombia. That is what we genuinely want to be. You might not be able to speak Spanish. You might not be able to teach, to preach. You might not be able to be there. But maybe the Lord has allowed you some gifts that you can, with which you can bless us. The number one, prayer. It's our prayer. The Lord can move the hearts of people. Just encouragement. You guys cannot imagine how much you have blessed us just in these 24 hours that we have been here. If you guys continue being so kind, we might come next week and tell you that we want to be missionaries in Edmonton. So don't be so kind. No, you guys have been so kind. So we want to partner with you guys just to pray about that. That's it. Okay?
We actually have an invitation because, honest to goodness, any of you guys, once we get down there and get set up, honest to goodness, come visit. And it really is an amazing, beautiful, wonderful place. The people, we didn't talk about that a whole lot. The people, I kept looking for the mean, terrible narcotics guys, and I couldn't find them. They're all so nice. Like, they're really nice. And if anything, I think that's maybe more difficult, right? Like, they're such good people, and they see themselves as such good people that they don't see necessarily their need for the gospel because they're so moral and so nice. Like, really, they're very kind. So I'm just saying, we're serious. Come on down.
It would be a fun
vacation for you guys. So,
okay. So maybe we can pray for a couple of minutes. Maybe two, three people. Is that okay? Yeah. Two, three people can just pray for Colombia, for the Colombian people, for our hearts, that the Lord may prepare our hearts to go, for his provision, and just for the ministry in Colombia.